The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
All right, we are the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Five Points at Athens. Chris Brame from the Home Team, David Johnston from the Morning Show, and that is how you get the Crossover Podcast. You can listen to us. You can actually get the Crossover Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, or you can just listen on demand at 960theref.com, or better yet, it's never been easier to listen to all your favorite ref programming. You can get the 960 The Ref app. Find it in the App Store. If you are on the iPhone, get it in Google Play on the Android. And don't forget, the Quality Ref programming does now include on Friday afternoons a Georgia football classic. And for last week, we had 87 Tech. This Friday, by the time you're listening to this, maybe that has already passed. But just be on the lookout for each successive Friday here in the coming weeks. But we've got 91 Clemson, so that's back-to-back Munson games. And those are nice to bring back some good memories.
Yeah, definitely. I was excited and glad that we got to hear the Dogs beat Tech last week, and certainly excited about the Clemson game from 1991, which was a big day for everybody involved, because that was the same day the Braves clinched the National League West back in 1991. So it was a double whammy for Georgia fans, and it was certainly a very, very exciting day that day.
And I guess what made that unique, too, was that it was a spot and a moment during the game where actually Georgia fans and Clemson fans had something in common, because everyone in the stadium was doing the tomahawk chop, because Clemson fans are also Braves fans, just like Georgia fans are.
Exactly. The whole stadium doing the tomahawk chop, and I'm sure Jeff's told it on the show this week, where Georgia's PA announcer before Brooke Whitmire, going back then, it was a gentleman named Larry England, and he just says, "The tomahawk chop." Apparently that was what he said when everybody was doing that. It was a great night. It was. The Clemson fans were happy at that point because, you know, they hadn't lost yet.
No.
And they had crushed Georgia the year before, and were expecting to do the same thing. According to our man Patrick Garbin, who is a great, great historian of Georgia football, similar to Jeff. They both know a ton of stuff. And I read something he had written that Clemson was about an 8-point favorite that night. And he also wrote that from 88 until 2000, the Tennessee games, the 88 Tennessee game to the 2000 Tennessee game, that was the only top 25 team Georgia beat at Sanford Stadium in that span of 12 years, where the Dogs were 1-13 during that time frame.
Well, against, that's not good.
Against, no, that is not. I don't, you know, it's kind of weird because to me, it's like you would think they would have played more than 14 top 25 teams at home in a 12-year span. But I guess that's like one a year. But you would think maybe there would have been more than that. And what year did the poll start? Did it go to top 25 as opposed to top 20?
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, that's a good question. I want to say it was like sometime in the 90s. I don't think it was in the 80s, was it?
Yeah, I don't think so. So anyway. So Patrick, like I said, that was something that I had noticed that he had written on one of his blogs. But if you know that Clemson game in 91, that was the only ranked opponent Georgia had beaten in Athens in a 12-year span, and Clemson was a top 10 team when they came into to Athens that year. So it was a huge win. In fact, it was you know, as big a win as Coach Goff had. It might have been, you know, you could probably argue it was as big a win as he had even when they beat Ohio State in the Citrus Bowl at the end of the 92 season.
Yeah, that game, because Jeff and I have talked about it a little bit this week, and, you know, when you think back of how it's set up now, and I'm just flashing back and imagining a scenario like that present day, but Georgia was definitely the live dog spot, because Clemson the week before had beaten Tech, who, unfortunately, in 1991, they were the defending national champions. So Clemson gets a big win over Tech the week before, beat them like 9-7. Georgia had already lost Alabama and had beaten Cal State Fullerton. It was like 27-13, where it was 20-13, like late in the game.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So there's a spot where Georgia had a loss, Clemson was undefeated, they were ranked in the top 10, had just knocked off the defending national champs, and Georgia didn't look very good the week before playing Cal State Fullerton. And here little old Georgia was catching 8 at home, and there was the live dog alert, and they barked loud that night, so I can't wait to hear that.
And what was LSU that year? Because Georgia crushed them a couple of weeks before the Clemson game.
Yeah, they must not have been good.
I mean, was that Curly Hallman? I guess, were they still in the – was that the Curly Hallman era? Because
it
Georgia had thumped them pretty good.
Yeah, because who was it? Mike Archer was there?
Or was that – would that have been Archer? I have to go back and look. By the way,
it was Curly Hallman, and they went. They ended up. I mean, they were 5-6, which isn't great, but it's also not like a 2-win team or anything.
Well, that Clemson team, I've lost you here for just a second, Brame. It fizzled out. Now I think I hear you now. Yes, and anyone listening, we are in separate rooms. We are socially radio distancing. But that Clemson team in 91, their only regular season loss was to Georgia. And they tied Virginia the following week at Clemson, and that was it. That was it until they lost to Cal, believe it or not, in the Citrus Bowl.
Wow.
So they got whipped by Cal in the Citrus Bowl, and that was it. They ended up they had a very good season. They went 9-2-1 under Ken Hatfield. But that night, October 5th, here in Athens at 7:45 kickoff was a rough night for the Tigers. Can't wait to hear the game.
Well, that Georgia team lost to Bama and Florida that year, but then it was just marred by also losing to Vandy. But that was it. I mean, that was pretty good from between 91 and 92. You had good back-to-back teams there, but 92 had those two close losses to the Gators and Volunteers, and 91, I guess, would look a lot different. In the aftermath, like, all right, you have a year where you lose to Bama and Florida. That's nothing shameful there, but I guess it was that loss to Vandy that really ends up lurking historically. So
that was a tough one. And in that game, Vandy had scored on a botched play. And I'm trying to remember, I was standing down there. I was at the game where they had a botched play, and it looked like it was going to be a turnover, and Georgia was going to get it, and somehow Vandy recovered, and on the same play, they ended up running for a touchdown or throwing a touchdown pass. It was tough there. But, yeah, and like you said, the other losses to Bama and Florida. And I guess the 92 team, that was a very good team. And they went 10-2, and they ended up winning the Citrus Bowl over Ohio State. But I guess that year's almost remembered as much for the two losses as it is for the 10 wins, because the losses were to Tennessee and Florida.
Yeah.
But still, those for Coach Goff's years when he was here, the 91 and 92 teams – were certainly the best ones that he had, since they did win a combined 19 games in those two seasons.
Yeah, a lot of good memories, though, came flooding back last week listening to the Mighty Munson and that call of that Tech game in 1987, which I guess he didn't know it at the time, but it did turn out to be Coach Dooley's final game over there at the time, not Bobby Dodd Stadium. They still called it just Grant Field. And so we'll hear more from Munson coming up this week, too, with the 91 Clemson game. And I guess now we're just finding out on a weekly basis what the game each week is, right? So,
yeah, they've been letting us know on Monday. So as soon as we get the word on Monday, we pass that along. What would you like to hear? I think the blackout from 2007 would be great. The 97 win over Florida would be great. I'd like to hear that. I mean, there's so many, but just those are a couple that just come to mind.
Yeah, I'm for hearing, like, last week's game when it was Tech in 87, where, you're all right, there's the point being Coach Dooley's last game in Atlanta. I think the 91 Clemson game, the significance of just the tomahawk chop ranking out. So I imagine we'll hear that over the broadcast tomorrow. So, like some of those, the legendary calls, like, I don't need to hear the hobnail boot game because we've all heard that. I'd like to hear, like I said, I wouldn't mind hearing the Citrus Bowl from 92. It's the only time Georgia and Ohio State have ever played, so, and Georgia beat them. So I'd be all for going back and listening to that broadcast, even if it doesn't necessarily have like this a legendary Munson call in it or anything like that.
No, I think that would be very cool. Well, since we've gotten now, let's see, Kirby, Coach Richt, this will be a Ray Goff game.
And you know, Coach Dooley.
Head Coach Dooley. We need one from the Donnan era. We need a Johnny Griffith game, and we need a Wally Butts game, and we'll be all good to go. Now that would be something to go like Ed Thelenius on a Friday afternoon, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be boy, that would really be digging into the archives if you could find that. I think I've got it somewhere saved in one of my files. I did find a clip of Tarkenton's pass against Auburn to win the SEC championship in, what was that, 60, not 66, I guess 56, whatever year that was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was Ed Thelenius, and it's not very good audio. I don't know where I got it from, but I do have it somewhere.
No, that'd still be – could you imagine, though, hearing an entire game like that? That would be
– yeah.
That would certainly be crazy. That was probably – the 59 game, I guess.
That was the 59 was the year.
Yeah, for the SEC champions that year, that went undefeated in the SEC and went on to, I guess that team won the Orange Bowl. Is that right? I think.
Where's Jeff? You need him, I know.
Yeah, where's Patrick Arvin? they did win the Orange Bowl. So, by the way, I heard you ask him that question there. That was a great question about. That in the history of the school, Georgia's only lost to eight different, what would be now, what, group of five schools?
Yeah, just non-power five, yeah.
Not counting, like, the Augusta YMCA and whatever back in the, like, whatever, you know, like some of those kind of teams.
Yeah, like the current FBS but non-power five programs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a great question.
Yeah, and Jeff, he got them all.
He got all eight of them. Yeah, stunned. I know. You bet against him, and you paid the price.
Yeah. I thought, like, because we played Rice in 1936, so to me that was the one. That might be the one that's tough to get, but he pulled it out. I figured he'd get at least seven of them, though.
You'll have to ask him then. What was the first worst loss in school history? I'll have to say that 28-6 loss to Tech in 1893 was one that almost set the program back in the second year of existence. But the Dogs were able to come that, and they had, and talk about a letdown. 3 days later, they got beat by Vandy 35-0 in Nashville.
Well, Vandy was a powerhouse.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So that team started out 0-2, but they bounced back after tying Savannah AC. They beat Augusta AC and Furman to salvage a 500 season, and then the next year they went 5-1.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm gonna ask Jeff today during the 5-5 that question about the first worst loss, but I will piggyback it with something positive and the first great win in the program's history too.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So yeah, see what he says to all of that. But yeah, I did it. I enjoyed that question. I like all this. You know, probably I would like to think that one of the positives that has come out of this pandemic is that hopefully a lot of us are a little bit more history smart than we used to be. We've had a little bit more time to read, a little bit more time to watch stuff on TV that might give you historical aspect on stuff, things like we're talking about right now. And I do enjoy this part of it, getting to talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, looking back, and you know, hopefully there's you know, been at least a few droppings of some potential positive news moving forward to get sports back this season. I know last week on the podcast we talked about NASCAR, which is, you know, still slated for May the 17th later this month, the PGA Tour June 11th, and I know we've gotten some, you know, some word has circulated around at least the SEC with different schools laying out that they plan on reopening their campuses in mid-August for fall semesters and whatnot. And that's obviously a critical step in having sports played this fall, is to get those campuses reopened. And I know, you know, I guess the question is, though, you know, is it, if they play football, will it be with spectators? Will it be limited fans? You don't know. I saw Ray Tanner say that they would be practicing social distancing at, Williams-Brice Stadium and all their other venues. And earlier this week, the Miami Dolphins, they showed a plan they've got in place for, you know, a potential season where you have fans coming in certain exits, leaving certain exits. Not everyone leaving at once. They, you know, you would leave the game and exit maybe row by row, section by section, and also maybe only having a stadium that's filled to like 25% capacity. And you just wonder if, you know, maybe that's also something that some of these, you know, college programs might consider too, which isn't ideal. I mean, admittedly, but it's certainly, it's better than nothing. And you know, I know a lot of people want to go to the Georgia games, but if you can't have 93,000 people in there, at least something would be better than just having none of it at all.
Yeah, I mean, no fans and having the game played would still be better than nothing. Remember when this all started? That was going to be the plan, was to just keep playing games without anybody in the stands, and then that all got shelved. So, yeah, at this point, I will certainly take that. We've been in the mornings, Logan and I have been watching the Korean baseball stuff, and, you know, there's no one in the stands there, and they're moving right along with their game. So I'll take that right now over what we've got. And if that's the way it has to be in the fall with nobody or limited number of people, then I say bring that on as well.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a live sporting event, let's do it. I saw South Carolina's president yesterday. He added that they what their hope and their intention is to be able to basically test the student body, the faculty, and anyone that's going to be on campus. He also said that they would increase their online options for anyone that didn't feel comfortable, you know, coming back to campus and giving that option too. So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be a weird season where maybe only students and then, you know, close family of the players are allowed to attend games. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But the bottom line is the important first step is to get the campuses reopened, because I even think when a lot of the administrators and met with, I guess, Mike Pence a few weeks ago, that was one thing they said is like the campuses have to be open if we're going to have these, you know, college athletics this season. So that is, you know, that's the plan right now, and hopefully they can proceed with that.
And, you know, and you'll hear people saying, well, they shouldn't just let sports drive the fact that campuses should be open so we can play sports. It should be the other way around. And to me, it's like, yeah, I get all that. I mean, everything's got to be done, you know, correctly as far as health and everything goes. But, you know, this thing has become a science versus, you know, business kind of thing. And we're finding out that, you know, both are very, very important. And, you know, we don't know. I mean, think about a month ago what we knew and what we know now. And we're talking about stuff that's still, you know, 2.5-3 months away. So there's still a long way to go in all of this. But, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, like I was asked the other day, what do you think about the Georgia-Virginia game in the, you know, in Atlanta at the Benz? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, would it be worth playing that game if there's nobody there? And I'm thinking, I don't know.
Well, and
these are questions I don't know the answer to.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a deal, too, where different states are kind of doing their own thing at this point, and Virginia could be very different than yeah. Georgia. So
now, Virginia is one of the ACC schools that is still, they have officially said they are planning on having students back by then, but I don't know how that affects, you know, the travel and, you know, leaving, you know, is it, do you want a bunch of fans getting in their car and driving from Virginia to Atlanta? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Maybe we don't know what the answer to that is right now.
Yeah, I know. It's just there's a lot of hypotheticals out there. But, you know, I think everyone, you know, should be, at least the ones whose job it is, should be, you know, coming up with all sorts of different options and potential plans and contingency plans. And it sounds like, you know, that is at least being done. I mean, again, all these things do come with the caveat of the, you know, but it is a fluid situation. And, you know, even
yes, it is.
I guess we talked last week and about, you know, the Mountain West Conference planning virtual media days. A few other conferences have followed, including now the Big 12, and, you know, kind of guessing that the SEC is probably ultimately going to end up having to do that as as well. And even though Greg Sankey continues to say, well, it's only the beginning of May, we have until, you know, we can probably go into some point in June before really deciding one way or another. But, you know, he does always add that he is prepared to adjust if necessary.
Yeah. which is all you can ask for right now.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a little break right here, the crossover podcast.
Hey, Bram, this is a tease for the break. I'm going to ask you a trivia question about that 91 Georgia team.
Okay.
So when we get back on the other side of the break, I'll have a quick little trivia question for you.
Now, you know, I'm not Jeff, right?
Right, but okay. It's one you can throw at Jeff later today if you want to.
All right, yeah, that'll be good. Crossover podcast presented, as always, by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Athens here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You know it's just a matter of time before you'll want some comfort food, like a big ooey-gooey pizza or juicy wings. But you can curb those cravings with Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen's curbside service. Just go to fullyloaded.pizza and pay by credit card. Then once you arrive, call them with your name and car description. They'll bring all your comforting favorites out to you. Get comfort food curbside with Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Crossover podcast part two, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points. Chris and Dave with you for another couple of minutes here. We'll briefly mention the NFL schedule, which is going to be released as we're recording this tonight. So we'll know the order that all the games will be played, and you know, any primetime games the Falcons might have. As of now, all we know is the teams that Atlanta will face, though. But before we broke, Dave mentioned that he had a 1991 Georgia football-based trivia question.
Yes. So let's see how you do on this one. Not counting Coach Goff, but there were four players on that 91 team that now have their own Wikipedia page. Can you name them?
Ooh, so not counting Coach Goff.
Not counting Coach Goff.
Well,
Georgia had four players on that 91 team that now have their own Wikipedia page.
Well, Garrison Hurst?
Garrison Hurst, correct.
I guess Muschamp would have been on that team.
Ah, very good, very good. Muschamp.
Now, Kirby wasn't here yet, was he?
Nope, not on that one.
That was too early for Kirby.
Yeah, too early for Kirby.
Well, what about Zaire?
Zaire is the third one, and if you get the fourth one, that's pretty good.
Terrell Davis?
He was not on that team.
Okay.
He didn't. I think his first year in Athens was 92, I believe.
Goldberg was gone by then, right?
Goldberg was gone
by
then.
He was gone, okay.
Yeah. So.
So I got Muschamp, Zaire, Garrison, and that was pre-Hines, too. Hines wouldn't have been here yet, right?
It was not, yeah, it was pre-Hines. I'll say this about Terrell. He came over from Long Beach State, and I believe his first year in Athens was 92.
Okay.
I want to make sure I got that right. So he wasn't on the 91 team.
All right. Yeah, because there was a period of time when he was active in the NFL that he would list his college as Long Beach State, not
exactly.
Georgia.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's an excellent guess. The final one, and I wouldn't have thought of him, but he was in the NFL for about 8 years, and he was a receiver, and he was a huge deal in recruiting.
Oh, Hastings.
Andre Hastings.
Okay.
Yes. Now, if there's any other players on that team that do have their own wiki page, I'm not seeing it. But those are the four that I am seeing.
Now, is everything on those wiki pages accurate, or are there any lies being told about them?
That I'll have to go back and check. I don't know, but in a quick click of Will Muschamp, it just says he's an American football coach and former player and is currently the head coach at South Carolina, where he was the head coach at Florida. So at least that part of it is correct.
Yeah, because now, I mean, anyone getting there and edit stuff.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like some South Carolina fan that might want him canned might already just go in there and type, he is already the former coach at South Carolina.
Well, you know, I wonder, you've kind of, I've kind of lost you again, there you go. So I know we were going to talk about the NFL schedule releases. Do you think coaches that are on the hot seat are going to get a longer rope this year if they don't have a good year because of everything that's happened? But then you could say, well, everybody's been through the same thing. It's, you know, I don't know. I wonder if that will have any effect on any coaches.
Well, I guess when it comes to the financial stuff that is also hammering a lot of these schools right now. I mean, really anybody, it's hurting right now. But the maybe now, that buyout, we just can't handle that buyout, so we'll give you another crack at it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, there are going to be some schools that probably can't afford to fire a coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, because South Carolina, it's already, their schedule again this year. So they play us. They played Bama last year. Instead of Bama, they play LSU. And, of course, they play Clemson along with Florida, Texas A&M on there. So their month of November is Georgia, LSU. Then they do get a Wofford layup before they go to Clemson. They're going to finish 1-3.
Is Wofford a layup or is that like a little 4 or 5 foot jumper?
That's true. I mean, that given where it is, yeah, South Carolina, that would be that's a tricky spot. That's a trap
game.
That is.
That's a trap game with that offense that they run. I guess Wofford still runs that same kind of offense. So, that's not easy at all. So, who knows? Who knows? But, yeah, the scheduling. And speaking of the scheduling, I think, you referenced the NFL schedule release that's coming out tonight. Is it on paper the Falcons have the hardest schedule in the league? Is that right? Just going back from the 2019 records of teams?
Is it? The road schedule, I think, is definitely brutal because you got Dallas, Green Bay, Kansas City, the Vikings, the Chargers, and then, of course, the three division rivals. So, I think that's a rough road schedule right there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a good thing they get that Broncos game back in Atlanta because I don't know what would have happened if they'd had to play it over at Tottenham.
Yeah.
So there's a break there for the Falcons.
Well, yeah. All the Denver fans can come to Atlanta now instead. But, because the home schedule's not as bad, although it's cool that DeAndre Swift and Stafford will come to town because the Lions come to Atlanta. Then you've got the Bears, the Broncos, the now Vegas Raiders, and then, and then there's Seattle, too, with Russell Wilson. But, so the home schedule doesn't look as daunting as the road schedule, but I think that's a pretty brutal road schedule with the exception of there is only one West Coast trip going out to LA, but you do have between Green Bay and Kansas City, depending on where those games get scheduled, potential weather.
Oh, weather. Yeah, that's another thing too. And that usually doesn't favor the inside teams. That's not the forte of how that statistic works.
Yeah, so, those games are later in the season.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't think the Falcons roster is, top to bottom as good as it could be or should be. Plus, you throw in the schedule, and I don't know. Maybe it's just this pandemic, but I just don't have a good feeling for the Falcons coming up this fall.
Well, they haven't done anything recently to give anyone a reason to be optimistic. So,
They're 7-1 in December and the last two, whatever their record is, the last 2 years in December, and then whatever it is in September, October, and November. It's just bizarre.
And then even just, I guess they finally beat Jacksonville late last season, but what did they lose? They had lost like 12 straight games against the AFC or something before that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the thing. There were some, the things about last season were between getting off to those horrible starts where they would just be getting blasted by halftime and then the record against AFC teams, it just, to me, it suggests a team that's not very well prepared. And, is that going to change this season? I mean, is Dan Quinn going to come up with something to get those guys, more ready to go?
That's the thing. I mean, that was what was so bizarre in the first half of the season. And I believe last year the bye week fell like after week 8. I think it literally split the regular season, but it was just that first part of the season, these games that they'd just gotten blown out in the first half, they just hadn't practiced or hadn't watched any film or anything. It was just bizarre, and there was definitely a turnaround, but still at the same time it's one of those head scratching things. And with the schedule release, I know as we record this, it's going to come out later on this evening, but I'll be curious to see how big a boost Tampa's going to get, or excuse me, Tampa Bay is going to get with where they show up in the primetime games, and might that potentially affect the Falcons? But I'm assuming there's going to be a Bucks Saints primetime game very early in the year, would you think?
I believe that there haven't been as many leaks that I've been combing through so far today as we've seen in the past, but I believe the Bucks and Saints are scheduled for week two is one thing that I'd seen.
Okay, as like the Sunday night game or something?
Actually, no, week one. Bucks and Saints right off the bat, week one appears to be the one of the leaks, and then the Saints will go to Tampa in week nine for the rematch. So it looks like Tampa and New Orleans are gonna kick off the season against each other.
Well, that the Tom Brady, Drew Brees matchup, you just, you know, you can't ignore that one.
No,
so that's you gotta do something with that.
I'm gonna assume that the Falcons and Bucks are gonna play twice this season at like 4:25 in the afternoon. Neither one of those games will kick off at one.
Do you like the Falcons playing on Thanksgiving every year? Do you like them being that the Falcons Saints just put them in there on Thanksgiving night? Although I tell you, as a college football junkie, and I know you're the same way, the Egg Bowl is just awesome. I mean, both of those teams could be 0-11 going into that game, and I would not be able to, look away from it. So now, I love the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, that's the it doesn't matter to me because I'm on Thanksgiving night. I'm watching the Egg Bowl. So
exactly.
I guess I'd rather the Falcons not play on Thanksgiving, so then you don't miss them then.
Yeah,
because I'm not watching the Falcons. I'm watching the Egg Bowl.
By the way, you remember, it's probably been 10 years. No, it would have been 10 years, maybe not quite 10 years, when Washington and Washington State played, and it was like, wasn't it like 0-11 versus 1-10 or something like that?
Yes, yes. Maybe it was 10 years already. No, they were both winless, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that, how like if Tech and Georgia played and neither team had won a game. I mean, that's just bizarre.
It was 0-8.
It was 0-8, okay.
Yeah.
So Washington State won that game, didn't they, I think?
Did they?
I think so.
Let me see here.
To be that late in the season and not have a win?
And it went to overtime. Washington State won 16-13 in overtime. I guess Washington State, it looks like they were 1-10 and Washington was 0-10 because Washington State ended up 2-10 and Washington ended up winless.
Brame, I think you meant to say they went to undertime in that game. Yeah.
Like
there was nothing over about that score.
Like that time Virginia Tech and Wake were scoreless after regulation.
That was definitely undertime.
Yeah.
For sure there. If you're scoreless at the end of regulation, you have gone under.
Yeah.
So that's pretty funny stuff. So, yeah, so Washington finished 0-12 and Wazoo finished 2-10.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, but still, an Apple Cup classic.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how the thing is, you know why I'm looking forward to the schedule? Because it gives me some hope of thinking towards the fall. That's the main thing.
Me too. I'm always like irrationally excited about the schedule anyway because I love schedules. So I'd be fired up for today even if the things weren't completely shut down right now. I think the Braves were scheduled to be off tonight anyway. So they wouldn't have played. And I guess
they're getting ready
to
start up a big series against the Marlins this weekend.
Yeah,
but yeah, they were off today.
That's if you want to feel better about missing baseball right now, just know that the Braves, I think, would already have been scheduled to play the Marlins like five times. So that's all you've missed.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
And the Dogs would have been in Arkansas this weekend for the final regular season road trip. Now, the regular season for college baseball would have ended next week when Georgia hosts Kentucky. But this would have been the final road trip of the season for the regular season.
I guess maybe there would have been some NBA playoff action or something, but but other than that, we would have had the NFL schedule release party, which we will we'll get. And I guess we'll know more. So we'll know more specifics next week when we record about the Falcons, and we can project how they'll go about finishing 7-9 again next season.
I would take that right now. I hate to say that, but that's about either 7-9 or 6-10 is what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
and that's even without knowing the schedule.
Well, look, I mean, the Falcons are just they're a mediocre franchise, and you look at, what is it, five of the last seven seasons, they've won eight or fewer games. That's So, I mean, what do you what more is there to expect?
And with the brutal road schedule that you rattled off a couple of minutes ago, I mean, what more is there to expect?
Yeah. Well, Dave, have a good weekend and a good week, and I will see you, and I'll kind of see you again next Thursday when we record again.
Yeah, I'll see you when I see you, but I'll just hear you when I hear you.
Yep. All right. Appreciate you as always. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com or download the 960 The Ref app. You can find it in the App Store if you are on the iPhone. Get it in Google Play if you're on an Android. For Dave, I am Chris. This has been the Crossover Podcast, presented as always by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points, here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.